Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Live from the Southern Bancorp Studios in Oak Grove, it is the Eagle Hour. Kelly Sander, along with producer engineer Michael Mergens, Bob Getty, and Dima Mixon, off today. This first segment of the program brought to you by Movie Star Restaurant. They're back operating now after their July 4th holiday. The best Southern food that you can possibly have in a buffet style. Everybody knows where Movie Star is on Old Highway 11 out here in Oak Grove. Best place in town when it comes to great Southern style buffet cooking. On the program today, former Southern Miss football coach Gene Smith will be joining us in a moment. Later on, the founder of Hub City Comedy and Southern Miss graduate Jamie Arrington will be on the program as well. Tomorrow, Associate Athletic Director Sean Jones is going to be here for the entire hour. So this hour dedicated to everything that is Southern Miss. And we're glad to have with us today Gene Smith, a former football coach at Southern Miss. Started as a GA, which is known as a graduate assistant, of course, in 1981, and then joined the staff of Jim Carmody. And after Carmody left, was on to Arkansas, where he coached for Ken Hatfield, Mississippi State. He coached in the World League for, I believe it was the Birmingham Fire, and then went on to the University of Houston to complete his career, a master's degree at Southern Miss in Education Administration, and a Gulfport East Viking. Coach Smith, as we welcome you, we don't hear from many Gulfport East graduates anymore. You know?
Well, those two schools combined, you know, and of course there had always been Gulfport High School all the way back in the Lindy Callahan days and prior to that. And then at some point Gulfport grew to the point where they opened a second high school and we were competitors with Gulfport High School and in the highest population divisions in Mississippi. And very, very fortunate to play for a guy named J.E. Loy Cano, who came in my junior year and turned that program around. We had some really talented players that were juniors and sophomores my senior year. And so had some good teams. Fred Collins, a lot of Mississippi State people remember Fred Collins was a big fullback. And then the next year, the sophomores who weren't playing yet much when I was there, Arthur Wiley and Bill Bell and Robert Bertuzzi and some of those guys that went on to Mississippi State. And we had a really good quarterback named Joe Adams that went on and played at Tennessee State and then with the 49ers a little bit. And so we really had some good players.
Well, after Gulfport East, it was on to Mississippi College for you. How did you land the GA job under Jim Carmody at Southern Miss? And you got your master's at Southern Miss,
right,
in education administration.
Well, I coached 1 year after Mississippi College. I played for John Williams at Mississippi College and really a great experience. After Mississippi College, I coached 1 year of high school ball at Clinton High School and knew I wanted to get into college football. My dad was a Methodist preacher and had played ball at Ole Miss back in the 40s. Jim Carmody was an assistant at Ole Miss when I was in high school, and he and my dad got to know each other. And so subsequently, I move on to Mississippi College and Clinton High School. Jim leaves Ole Miss. That staff dissolved. Steve Sloan came in, and Carmody left and rejoined Bobby Collins, who he had been with at North Carolina years before on Bill Dooley's staff. He rejoined Bobby Collins' Southern Miss staff. And I'm now looking for a GA job, and my dad called Jim and got me introduced to him, and Jim's the one that got my foot in the door, even though he had just made the decision to leave and go to the Buffalo Bills. So I worked as a GA with Bobby Collins in 1981, and then, of course, Bobby Collins took the SMU job after that season, and Jim Carmody comes back to Southern Miss as the head coach, and I felt some loyalty to Jim for getting me the job and decided to stay there with him one more year as a GA, and then it was very fortuitous for me. He hired me on the staff the next year in 1983.
Coached linebackers at Southern Miss along at some other places. And while on the subject of Jim Carmody, he had this public persona of and of course Coach Carmody is no longer with us, but he had this persona of being this ogre, this very difficult to deal with. Nobody even wanted to make eye contact with Jim Carmody. People, he was so fearsome to so many people. But I have to say, Gene, in all the years of my broadcasting and covering the teams that you were helping coach, I never had the slightest problem with Jim Carmody. Did he want you to be respectful of his time? Yes, we had a set Tuesday 3:25 afternoon appointment, but he would close his office door at 3:25 and he was there until I didn't need him anymore. I always wondered how this perception of him could be so rough on the outside, but on the inside, professional, not warm and fuzzy, but certainly not that gruff exterior that many people saw.
Right. A lot of people had that perception, and maybe some people saw it. He was one of my great mentors. Very demanding, very exacting, very smart, very organized, as you talked about. He walked in that door at 3:25, you were telling me before we got on there, and not a minute before, not a minute after.
That's exactly right.
And he was very precise and exacting and organized and demanding, but in a professional way. If you were doing your job, I found him very easy to work for. I worked for him for 8 years, 6 at Southern Miss, 2. He was defense coordinator and brought me over to Mississippi State on Rocky Felker's staff. And as I say, he was one of my mentors. I still use a lot of principles in business that he taught us. And those organizational principles are the same whether you're in athletics or business or any organization.
But now, if he thought you were slacking or cutting corners, in your words, then yes, it was a different guy.
Then he could put those, as one guy said, those baby blues on you, and he could be intimidating. He was demanding and exacting, but if you were doing your job, he was pretty easy to work for. I found him very easy to work for.
But when you got your master's in education administration, it was always kind of in the back of your mind, yes, that if football didn't work out, you could get into the administration part of education.
Well, that's why I chose that. Back then, the GA route was the way, and still is, the way to get into college athletics from high school athletics or to get started in it. You have to start off in an entry-level spot. Most folks do. And so I chose that, not knowing for sure, if I might not end up back in high school athletics and maybe move into the administration route at some point. And it was an interesting field and taught you some organizational aspects from an academic standpoint in administration that carried over into other aspects of the life. So, yeah.
And there was a time when you talk that you coached for Carmody, what are some things, and you mentioned to just a second ago, that there were many things that you learned along the coaching trail that has now helped you in the private sector. In our second segment, we're going to talk about your transition to the private sector, but talk to us about some of those traits that you did pick up coaching that have helped you in the private sector.
Well, I think just primarily organization, Kelly. I mean, he was a highly organized person, and he did not put up with disorganization. And so, just keeping things on a schedule and being clear with responsibilities, maybe a little easier to do on a football staff. Back then, we had 9 assistant coaches, a couple of grad assistants, and that's really about it. So we didn't have all of the people that you do maybe in a organization. We've got 180 people in our organization, and so you have to rely on people. Your direct reports have to transfer all that information down. So a little bit different, but we had a staff meeting every morning during the season. So he was touching everybody on the staff every morning. But just the organization and the structure and the discipline, which is, doing what you have to do, when you have to do it, to the best of your ability and all the time. Just those kinds of things are the things he taught.
You coached at the high school level. You coached at the college level. You coached at the pro level in the old World Football League.
Mm-hmm.
Of those three, looking back on it now, Gene Smith, what was your favorite one to coach? What level?
I enjoyed the college level. I enjoyed the college age group and being able to have an impact on guys that were mature enough. They were more mature than the high school player, mature enough to understand what you were trying to teach, and yet maybe not as set as a pro player. But the, you know, there was an awful lot of hypocrisy in college athletics back in that time, and we didn't have that in the pro game, and it was simpler. You know, you had so much you had to keep up with college players outside of football. You know, the academic side being the primary one. You know, making sure they adhered to the principles of the program and they were conducting themselves on campus the right way and all of that kind of thing that we didn't really have in pro ball. It was a little bit easier, and we had a good group of guys, and it was a small roster, fairly small roster, 40 people, 40 players. Good head coach, Chan Gailey was the head coach. We philosophically matched, and he brought in players that met that philosophy. So it was an easier, more mature player you're dealing with.
Well, when we come back, we're going to continue our discussion with Gene Smith. Could he coach today in the current college landscape? And then we're going to talk about how he went into the private sector and what he's doing now. Gene Smith, our guest on the Eagle Hour, will continue in just a moment.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
The Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
This segment of the program brought to you by Eagle Tire West on Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg. Former Southern Miss baseball player Matt Warren wants you to go by and see him for premium Goodyear products, but tires of all different of makes and sizes. Full auto and truck service at Eagle Tire West next to Smith. Not Gene Smith Motor Company, but Smith Motor Company on Highway 98 West. Eagle Tire West has been family operated since 1985. Full service and big Southern Miss supporters. As we continue our discussion with former Southern Miss football coach Gene Smith. Coach, we've talked on a personal level many times about the landscape in college football now. And you said even when you were coaching at Southern Miss back in the 80s, there was a disparity between the highly financed universities, shall we say, and Southern Miss, and that disparity has grown larger. But when it comes to that topic, it seems to me you're a glass half full kind of guy. You think that Southern Miss can get back to in the league that they're competing in, that there's no reason that can't continue.
That's my personal view, and Kelly, I'm not on the inside. I don't know everything that people on the inside know, but just from the history and the infrastructure here at Southern Miss, and maybe I'm a little biased because I spent 7 years there, and we live in Hattiesburg now, and we pull for Southern Miss, and so I could have some bias there. I know Southern Miss's budget, even in the Sun Belt, is still at the low end, but just the history of football and the history of men's basketball and baseball, in those sports, at least, I think gives Southern Miss an opportunity to compete in that league. It's of course, becoming Southern Miss has a harder time upsetting, in my view, today as an outsider. Again, I emphasize as an outsider, they would have a harder time competing as favorably as we did during a stretch in there, and as later some of Jeff Bauer's teams did against the so-called big guys, you know, against Alabama, Auburn, Texas A&M, you know, some of those kind of folks, and certainly Ole Miss and State back in that early 80s period where we were so fortunate, of course, to have, you know, Reggie Collier at quarterback and some of those other many, I hate to start naming names,
right.
You know, because we had just a great number of good football players during that stretch. And then, of course, Brett did that. He came in our last year in 87 and then grew into the player he was under Curly Allman. But
in the first segment, we talked about that you've coached at all these different levels, but yet something made you pull the trigger to get out of coaching and into the private sector, where you have been an entrepreneur, you have been, you know, owned several businesses. Now you're working with a subsidiary, the Jones Company, in FV Recycling. What made you eventually say, I'm done with coaching, I'm going to go into the
Well, just the situation at Houston there, Kelly, when that blew up and I began looking around. If the right exact thing had happened in coaching, I would have stayed in coaching. But it didn't, and our family was coming along, and we had two children at the time, and you know, you just coaching pulls you away from the family, as you know. You've watched coaches, and you know that schedule, and so for those reasons, we chose to come back to Mississippi. My wife's from Brookhaven, and Amy, and she had gone to school here at Southern Miss, and the business we were looking at, the pizza restaurant CC's, had a spot here. They were looking for somebody to invest in, and we made that choice to do that and came back to Mississippi. My parents were still living in Jackson, and her folks were in Brookhaven, and so we made that decision to do that for a lot of reasons. But there wasn't something with coaching that made me say I'm done with coaching at the time. It was just family considerations and what have you.
But so many times, and not just with coaches, but I've seen with players too, lots of times people say, I just wonder why these guys just can't walk away from it. Why did Jerry Rice end his career with a lousy team? Why did Joe Montana keep playing all those years? Why did Brett Favre come out of retirement? And a lot of it has to do with identity. It seems that that's all they've ever known. Up to that point, Gene Smith, that's all you had ever known is coaching. So take us through, did you ever worry about, I've never done anything like this before, Lord help me?
Well, yeah, anytime you make a transition, there's a lot of people that have made transitions in their life, and anytime you make a transition, there's some anxiousness there. But as we were talking off the air, a lot of the principles in athletics, organizational principles, are the same as they are in business. I used to tell people, I'm still coaching, I'm just coaching something different. It's still teaching, it's still coaching, it's still leading a group. So I didn't find it that difficult.
Okay, so tell us what you're doing now.
Well, I'm working with FE Recycling. We are in the box supply business. I used to say, if you boil us down, we run flatbed 18-wheelers around the Southeast, and we pick up the bales of cardboard that you might see behind a grocery store. If you drove over here behind Corner Market, who is one of our great clients, you'd probably see some bales of cardboard back there. And our flatbed drivers swing around there and pick them up on a schedule, and usually make two or three or four stops. And then they deliver that material, which is a commodity, OCC, old corrugated containers. They deliver that commodity to a paper mill in proximity. For us, it would be the Hood Mill in Meridian, the Atlas Roofing Mill, or the Georgia Pacific Mill in Monticello. Or we might sell it out of one of our plant locations. We might deliver back to one of our plant locations, of which we have four now, and sell it to paper mills out of there, and they can come get it and take it to the mill that they want to. But we run 70 flatbed 18-wheelers around the Southeast now. We just bought a business a little less than a year ago in Chicago, and so we have plant locations in Chicago and in Tupelo and Jackson and Summerall, Mississippi. We have equipment repair locations in Alexandria, Louisiana, and Little Rock, Arkansas, and now handle about 80,000 tons a month of recyclable material, most of which is OCC, which is used to make more boxes. So I say we're in the box supply business. We are part of this feedstock that paper mills use to make the material that boxes are made out of. So if manufacturers are manufacturing, if distributors are distributing, if the economy is healthy, they need more of our product, and we need to make boxes. So it's kind of an indicator of where economic conditions are in the country, in the world, really.
You're getting to the point, and I mean this with all due respect, because we're contemporaries, generally. You're getting to that, what most people would put air quotes around, retirement age. But I've never gotten the feeling with you, Gene, that you'd ever be the type of guy that would just go to the house and do nothing. Have I read you right?
You're pretty astute. Yeah. I don't want to retire. You know, there may come a point where I want a little less vigorous schedule, but a little less regimented schedule. But yeah, I'm happy. I enjoy what I'm doing. I'm excited to get up every morning. I've got a great team with me, and enjoy what I do in a good group of support in the Jones Capital folks. And so we've got a good thing going right now.
Now, your son Kyle played baseball at Peddle and was played against my son at Oak Grove. But I say all that to say that as a coach, if Kyle would have come along to you and said, "Dad, I just don't want to do sports. I'd just rather be a gamer. I'd just rather do music," something like that. And I always ask this of coaches. What would have been your reaction?
I want him to do what he wants to do. We have three sons.
Okay.
Kyle, Sean, and Clay. Kyle was you remember the athlete he was, went on and played at Mississippi College and then transferred to Butler to finish his baseball career and played in the Big East. And our middle son, Sean, is a photographer. And he decided football wasn't for him in about the eighth grade or so. And he started doing the film for the high school team there. And he is now a professional photographer for a newspaper in South Carolina. And then our youngest was a good high school athlete and wanted to go into coaching. And he is now the director of basketball operations at Texas A&M. And he is on the track to make this his profession and focus on that. And Kyle's in business. He's an analyst with a consulting company and lives in London. And
that's so, right outside of Waynesboro.
Yeah. Yes. That's
London.
The London, England.
Wow.
He and his wife are over there. And,
wow.
Much to my wife's chagrin, she doesn't get to see them like she wants to. But anyway, yeah, I want them to do whatever they want. And most coaches are like that. Sometimes people that are fanatic about athletics wonder about that, but most coaches that spend their life in it and
the easiest
they keep it in perspective.
The easiest kids I ever coached in youth baseball, their dads were usually baseball coaches.
Yeah.
I never had any problems with those parents. It was the other ones.
And their dads weren't yelling at you from the stands.
They were not.
Yep.
They were not. Do you think in the current landscape, Gene, as we begin to wrap things up, that you could ever coach with all the stuff that's going on now in college athletics?
Oh, I think so, and I'm hopeful, Kelly. I'm hopeful that some of that will be organized and managed. I think it's going to take some real leadership within college athletics from the presidents. It is messy. It is messy. I do like the fact that the old under-the-table money is now on top of the table. The messiness is primarily – it's not produced by the money. The money is not the issue, in my view. The issue is the basically one-year contracts with the players. They can all transfer any and every year. The transfer portal and coaches not being able to manage a roster. I don't think it's good for the players, and I don't think it's good for the coaches, but it's got to be done in a legal fashion that doesn't violate antitrust law.
We thank you for your contributions at Southern Miss over the years, the contribution that you and Amy continue to make in the community. Gene Smith's been with us, former football coach at Southern Miss. Good to see you, Coach.
Thank you, Kelly.
Thank you so much for being with us. When we come back, Jamie Arrington, a Southern Miss graduate who founded Hub City Comedy. What's it like being a Southern Miss fan these days? We'll talk with Jamie next.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
It might be hot outside, but it is always air-conditioned comfort inside at DBAT baseball and softball training. As your youngsters, some of them are still playing All-Stars, but some of them already getting set for the fall seasons, and DBAT is the place to get set up, whether it's an individual training program or you just want to take some cuts in the different machines that they've got there, the pro shop, everything for your upcoming budding softball and baseball player is at DBAT. A shout out to MCS Home Center for home repair, home rod remodeling, home construction, everything you need for your next project, home, lawn, or garden is available at MCS Home Center in Bellevue. MCS is Hattiesburg's new home improvement center with local folks eager to help you, 7329 Highway 98 West. Joining us on the phone now is Jamie Arrington, a Hattiesburg native and a founder of Hub City Comedy, who just celebrated an anniversary that we're going to talk about in just a moment. He will be hosting Laughs for Life on August 8th at the Rustic Sanger Theater in downtown Hattiesburg, where he will be opening for Greg Warren. Southern Miss graduate, well, at least you saw Jamie Arrington, but maybe didn't know that it was Jamie Arrington because he was the mascot Seymour for 3 years, then went on and made mascotting a career, was Staley, the mascot for the Chicago Bears in the National Football League, and then later on Howler as the Phoenix Coyotes, and wound up back here in Hattiesburg. And Jamie, it's great to have you on the show, man. You got a lot of things cooking. Congratulations.
Thank you. You know, it's kind of crazy that this whole comedy scene, there are kids that that can drive now who weren't even born when we started. So it's pretty amazing. It's been a fun ride, though.
Yeah, so let's talk a little bit about the anniversary show that you guys just did and your original view of Hub City Comedy, and when you decided, hey, this thing is growing legs of its own.
You know, when we started out, it's always been, we've never been incorporated. It's always been like a loosely knit group of comics who just wanted to do comedy. There weren't really any places set up for shows in Hattiesburg at the time. So we started doing shows with locals, and then it just started to snowball from there. About 2 years in, we started booking headliners. I mean, the first, you know, kind of a bigger name now, but the second headliner I ever booked was Nate Bargatze. I mean, we literally ate that night at the Walmart Deli. And he is, you know, the biggest name in comedy right now. But the first time he ran through his first album was at the Bottling Company. So we do have a little history there with that, and it's just kind of exploded from there.
You know, but when you were developing your style of comedy, there's what I tell people is like the one-liners type comedy, the old guard, Henny Youngman, Rodney Dangerfield, those really quick, you know, 5-6 second jokes. And then there's more the storytelling comedy, the Henry Chos, the Bill Cosby, the Leanne Morgan, you know, those were just kind of observing and talking about life stories. When you developed your sense of comedy, Jamie, did you have a specific direction that you wanted to go that you felt you were more proficient at?
I started off, my big comedy inspiration was Dana Carvey. So I literally started out recycling his old impressions. And then I realized, okay, well, this is really not going to go anywhere. This has been done. So I started doing, you know, like fake Jay Hobson was a big part of To the Top Talk, just kind of you know, poking fun at him. So we're able to still kind of incorporate impressions here and there, but not like I used to. I'm a big joke guy. Even if I tell a story, I try to format it so that there's at least a punchline in every sentence.
Now, I know you've opened for Jim Brewer of Saturday Night Live fame down on the coast. You're going to be opening for Greg Warren. How do those things happen, Jamie? They don't just fall out of the sky.
Well, you know, there is I like to think I'm somewhat decent at this, even though, you know, it's certainly not my day job. But really, the relationships that I've built in the business and the people that I've met and the opportunities that I've gotten have just come from being nice to people and treating people the way you want to be treated. You know, when we had, I'll take you back to Nate, for example. When he came through, we really tried to make sure he had a great time, that, you know, it was a decent crowd. He made the money that we said he would make. He made a little more just because the crowd was a little better. So really just taking care of people and being truthful and honest to what you say, it's helped formulate relationships to where we, you know, other opportunities come around, whether it was for me or for other comedians in the area.
You have been a passionate Southern Miss fan forever. And sometimes to the point where you've almost needed medication, Jamie. both the highs and the lows of being a Southern Miss fan. I've been told it's really especially hard nowadays to be a Southern Miss fan. Is that the case? And if so, why is it any tougher today than maybe, say, 10 or 15 years ago?
Yeah, absolutely it is. I mean, there's no question about it. You want to stay positive. You want to hope for the best, you know. But the landscape has changed, particularly as it comes, you know, leads to Southern Miss. If you were to go back 15 years and say, hey, you know, 15 years from now, you're going to lose, what, like 5 or 6 straight to South Alabama, it would have just been a terrified look on your face when somebody told you that, and just this denial that would ever be the case. And it's just kind of the way the landscape has shaped out. So it's, you know, money and is become the biggest player in college athletics, and those that have it are certainly at an advantage over or those who are not. So it's you know, we were used to, Southern Miss fans, we were used to the 6-6 seasons at a minimum. And then I guess like 14 years ago, things changed, and it really hasn't. But we had a few years where we might have won a bowl or, you know, made it to the conference championship game, but we really have not had that success like we were used to at the time.
Some people, when asked the question, what's the biggest mistake that the Southern Miss Athletic Department as a whole has ever made? And the most consistent answer we get was letting Jeff Bauer go for whatever reason. Are you in that camp?
I absolutely adore Jeff Bauer, but I'm not in that camp.
You're not? Okay.
I'm not in that camp. I do feel like it was, I mean, this is just my opinion.
Sure.
Like I said, I love him to death, been a family friend, the best coach we've ever had at Southern Miss, but there were some things, the game was kind of passing by in some ways. We really weren't getting into high gear in recruiting like other schools were until later in the fall. And as you see now, you've got commits that are, you know, committing, you know, the spring before their senior year, as opposed to towards the end of the year with a lot of places. So I felt like recruiting and really like that last game, that last year of his at home against Arkansas State, it looked, unfortunately, like many of the crowds look now. It was an anomaly. You were like, wow, this is not going great. And, you know, and it still was a winning season, but Fedora carried that tradition on until he left in 2012. And I really feel like he left enough talent on the table. You talk about the guys that he left behind, the Raheem Nunez Rochas, the Tracy Lampley, the Jamie Collins. He left behind enough talent to at least sustain that winning season trajectory. But 2012 just pulled the rug out from under all of us.
Do you find that the tumult of being a Southern Miss fan is a source of comedy? Can it be?
Yeah, I've made a few jokes. You know, it can be, and really that's probably the easiest way to deal with it. You know, some of my dear friends are Southern Miss fans. There are group chats, and, you know, you make a joke here and there. You love the school. You adore the school. You want what's best for the school. But sometimes just there's solace in the comedy of things, you know.
Yeah, the misery loves company.
Misery loves company.
We've heard the phrase, too, that seems to be more popular nowadays. And unfortunately, it's when the university stubs its toe in some way, shape, or form. The term to-the-top moment. It's another to-the-top moment. What does that mean in your view, Jamie Arrington?
It simply means a moment where you are unsuccessful in surviving success. So, for example, if there's the team is on a major winning streak, you take on a team you should beat, and then you get blown out by them. Or you, and I know this is recency bias, and I'm very proud of the baseball team this year, but losing to the 4 seed in our own, in the regional we're hosting 2 years in a row, those are to-the-top moments.
I see. I see. That's clear to me now. But to be fair, don't a lot of schools have whatever moments?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's just the way it's coined for us. And, I mean, really, you look at it, there's only one team in every sport that survives success properly every year, you know?
Yeah, at the end of the season, yeah, when there's a tournament, there's only one team that ends with a win.
Yeah.
The World Cup coming up, there's only one team that's going to walk away winning when the final game is played. Before we go into commercial break, real quick, do you find that if you make a joke about Southern Miss that you have to be careful? Or is that one of the things you like about comedy is, look, comedy is rolling the dice?
Comedy's rolling the dice. I mean, I think there's some things to be careful about. I mean, this is a joke that I wrote. I'll go ahead and say this one because I think it's funny. And it has the context is, you know, a few months ago, we had the major tornado that cut through Mississippi. It spent more time on the ground in Mississippi than former Southern Miss coach Charles Huff. Great joke. Everybody gets it. You know, it's applicable.
Yes, we can laugh about that now, for sure.
Yes.
For sure.
Yes.
Maybe a week after so, but I think we've gone far enough now. Well, that's okay. We're going to continue our conversation with comedian Jamie Arrington, Southern Miss graduate and big Southern Miss fan, on the other side of these commercial messages. The Thursday Eagle Hour rolls on.
big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Final segment of the Eagle Hour brought to you by Genesis of Hattiesburg, the official auto dealer of the Eagle Hour. Genesis sedans and SUVs, all from Mississippi's exclusive Genesis dealership, Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg. And don't forget that the podcast is available about 15 minutes after we're done with the show here, available on platforms Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube, or you can ask Alexa or Siri to play the Eagle Hour for you. Jamie Arrington continues to be our guest, the founder of Hub City Comedy. He is going to be opening the Laughs of Life show on Saturday, August 8th at the Hattiesburg Sanger Theater, where Greg Warren will also be on that ticket. Laughsforlife.com is where you can gobble up one of the very few remaining tickets available for that. Laughsforlife.com altogether. Jamie, we mentioned that you made a career of it for a while being a mascot. Did you find that your face being covered, whether it was as Seymour at Southern Miss or as Staley in Chicago or as Howler in Phoenix, that you could get away with things that you could not get away with if your face was exposed?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I'll give you a perfect example from Chicago. So I was the first game of the new Soldier Field, Bears-Packers, Monday Night Football, and I'm kind of making the rounds on the sidelines, and somebody's like, hey, the governor wants to meet you. And I had no idea who the governor of Illinois was. I'm just like going around, you know, shaking hands, all this stuff. And I get to the end, there's just this short woman, and I was just like, I started just messing with her. I just put my arm around her, you know, messed up her hair. And I go to the back, and I've got the game on in my locker room. I look up, and that was Lisa Marie Presley. Like, you can't just walk up to her and, you know, mess up her hair, give her, you know.
Wow.
Not allowed. Jamie would be the creep of all creeps if he did that. So Staley can get away with it.
Yeah, that is interesting, man. Lisa, did you didn't know it was Lisa Marie at the time?
Well, I thought, you know, you think Elvis, I thought she would have been bigger than she was.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But she was very tiny, very tiny.
Wow, that is a brush with greatness that you didn't realize, right? Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
So upcoming football season, Blake Anderson and company, they're going to be in New Orleans next week unveiling this team at Media Day for the Sun Belt on Wednesday and Thursday. The Eagle Hour, we will be reporting live from Media Day on both of those days. Actually, Associate AD Sean Jones is going to be joining us tomorrow for the entire hour. Jamie, what are your expectations for the Anderson era coming up in Season 1?
I don't know that it's really fair to have expectations. I'm really, honestly, I'm not expecting much just because of the, you know, it was a complete roster overhaul, and there have been some splashy names that came through, but for the most part, it was a little, you know, you really don't know a lot about any of these players for the most part. So I don't think the spring game was a great showing to at least instill confidence. So, I mean, I would be pleasantly surprised and thrilled if this was a bowl season.
The hiring of Blake Anderson, I thought, you know, under the circumstances, a guy who's been here, knows the Southern Miss way, and has head coaching experience not only in the Sun Belt but in other schools, Division I. I thought under the circumstances that was the guy. Your thoughts?
I mean, I hope that's the case. I mean, I like Blake a lot. Used to, you know, work with him more his first time around here. There's just this uncertainty about the current landscape where we are, and can he navigate through that situation? I'm just not sure. I hope so, but there, you know, with the state of college football right now, particularly Southern Miss, we've tried to build things slowly and the right way, and that's just not feasible in this climate. You need a quick turnaround, or you're not going to have a job. I mean, I just take it back to when Lane Kiffin was hired at FAU. Everybody's like, oh, that's Lane Kiffin. But he brought in transfers immediately. he did things immediately, and he's propelled himself onto other jobs. I'm not saying that anybody is, you know, a similar coach to him, but that's the situation right now. Is you can't do, oh, we'll like we try to do under Hall or under Hobson, where it's like, oh, we're going to build this, quote, the right way, and it's going to take time. That's just not feasible in this college football landscape.
What do you expect from the Southern Miss Tulane game, week four on the schedule, Jamie, where a Will Hall Green Wave team will host Coach Anderson's Eagles in the Big Easy?
Will Hall will have, I mean, it is very likely that he's going to have everything in his favor. And I think that there were times where he had that while he was here at Southern Miss and did not deliver. So, who's to say? I mean, he did beat Tulane when they went, you know, to the with the Fiesta Bowl. He did beat them that year. So, I mean, it is possible for Southern Miss to do that. It is possible for him to do things out of the realm of what he's used to. But I wish him the best. But I, you know.
Jamie,
I don't hate our chances in that game for some reason.
Okay, good, good. I like to hear that. All right, before we let you go, I want to give you one source for a joke. If you would write a joke for us on the Eagle Hour pertaining to how long it has taken for Reed Green Coliseum to get its makeover, that would be awesome. We'll let you ponder that as we let you go. Jamie Arrington again, Laughs for Life. He will be hosting that on Saturday, August 8th. Founder of Hub City Comedy and a big Southern Miss fan. Jamie, always good to talk to you.
I'm glad they put Rhino Liner at the top of Reed Green right now. I will say that, to the top.
All right, Jamie Arrington, everybody. Tomorrow, as we mentioned, Sean Jones for the whole hour, Associate AD at Southern Miss. For producer engineer Michael Mergens, I'm Kelly Sander. Thanks for joining us, and as always, Southern Miss to the top.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.